Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
U.S. hiring hit an annual record despite a slowdown in December, why economists are already thinking about next month's numbers. Plus, airlines have been canceling thousands of flights a day.
This has been going on for 2 weeks now and isn't really showing signs of letting up. You know, that's kind of unusual. I think this is probably just one of the most difficult operating environments that they've faced.
Why carriers have been so upended by the Omicron surge. Plus, the latest guidance if you test positive for COVID-19. It's Friday, January 7th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. It's Jobs Friday. Employers added almost 200,000 jobs last month, a cool down from November and October's reports. While hiring slowed down, the unemployment rate dropped below 4%. Wages grew by 4.7% from 1 year ago. Altogether, 2021 hit a record for job growth, with 6.4 million more hires than in 2020. However, those still didn't quite make up for the jobs lost in the first year of the pandemic. And Wall Street Journal labor economics reporter Sarah Cheney Cambon says that we won't know how the latest COVID-19 surge is impacting the labor market until next month.
Omicron was not really captured in December's jobs report. However, we do expect to see some impact from the variant in January's jobs report. One thing that we're going to be looking at really closely is how Omicron is leading to these staffing shortages. And because we've seen all sorts of anecdotes ranging from airlines canceling flights to restaurants temporarily closing down due to the variant because of worker shortages. So we're going to be looking at kind of an obscure data point that measures the number of people who are employed. So they still have a job, but they are absent from work due to illness. And there are about 1.7 million people in this category in December. That was up slightly from a month before, but some economists expect that that number could go as high as 5 million in January's jobs report.
U.S. stocks ended the day and the week with losses. The Nasdaq dropped about 4.5% this week. The S&P 500 shed 1.9% and the Dow fell 0.3%. Meanwhile, the yield on the 10-year Treasury jumped for five consecutive sessions to its highest level since January of 2020. As we reported this morning, the Supreme Court heard arguments today on President Biden's vaccinate or test mandate for large employers. Our legal affairs reporter Brent Kendall says the justices were divided.
Over nearly 4 hours of oral argument today, the Biden administration faced a bunch of tough questions from the Supreme Court on its mandates, particularly its one requiring larger private employers to either have their workers vaccinated or tested. And by the end of the session, it seemed like the administration is going to have a really hard time in convincing the court to let those move forward. A second regulation involving a vaccine mandate for healthcare workers faced less skepticism, although it was still not clear what is going to happen at the court one way or the other. I think the one thing we can say for sure is that you can expect the court to act on one or both of these in a matter of days as the rules are getting ready to go into effect.
The three men convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery have been sentenced to life in prison. Of the three, Travis McMichael and his father Gregory McMichael were denied the chance of parole. The two men, along with William Roddy Bryan Jr., chased Arbery in their pickup trucks while he was running and killed him in early 2020. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has invited President Biden to deliver his State of the Union address to a joint Congress on March 1st. It will be Biden's first State of the Union and will be a chance for him to rally support for his agenda ahead of the midterms. Under his achievements, he will likely speak about the signing of a nearly $2 trillion COVID-19 aid bill and a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. However, his $2 trillion Build Back Better plan, which includes funding for social and climate measures, remains stalled in Congress. The speech is usually held in late January or early February, but was pushed back in part to avoid conflict with the Winter Olympics. And trailblazing Hollywood actor Sidney Poitier has died. Poitier was the first Black actor to win an Oscar for a leading role for his performance in Lilies of the Field. His career spanned more than five decades, and he was renowned for roles that both entertained audiences and challenged racial stereotypes. That included films like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and In the Heat of the Night. In 2002, he was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
I accept this award in memory of all the African-American actors and actresses who went before me in the difficult years, on whose shoulders I was privileged to stand to see where I might go.
That sound is courtesy AMPAS. Poitier also received several Emmy nominations, served as the Bahamas ambassador to Japan, and was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2009. He was 94 years old. Coming up, how the airline industry is struggling to recover from the latest pandemic setback.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
A surge in COVID-19 cases, this time due to the Omicron variant, is once again saddling the nation's airlines. Like with many businesses, the surge has led to more acute short staffing among air carriers, some of whom were already struggling to keep workers. They've also had to contend with inclement weather in many parts of the country. All of that's forced airlines to cancel more than 1,000 flights a day for 13 straight days, according to aviation data tracker FlightAware, totaling more than 22,000 cancellations since Christmas Eve. And it's led to a multitude of stranded and frustrated passengers across the U.S. So, is there an end in sight? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal Airlines reporter Allison Sider. Hi, Allison. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Allison, let's start by talking about how the industry was faring just prior to the Omicron surge. Many airlines were still struggling to recover from previous surges, but pretty optimistic about the holiday season, right?
Yeah, 2021 was a really tumultuous year for airlines. You know, the beginning of the year, they were still dealing with COVID, but travel began to ramp up again really quickly in the spring and the summer. You know, kind of outpacing what airlines were really ready to handle from a staffing perspective. You know, so they dealt with some pretty big meltdowns, you know, in the summer and in the fall, where there were a bunch of flight cancellations, you know, sort of tripped off by some bad weather, but exacerbated by, in some cases, staffing shortfalls. But heading into the holidays, I think they really felt that they'd addressed a lot of that. Airlines had kind of pared down their schedules. They'd put in place some incentives to encourage attendance over the holiday. Thanksgiving went really smoothly, and I think they felt very prepared for the Christmas surge in traffic.
And then, of course, the Omicron variant hit, sweeping into the U.S. pretty quickly. How did this play out at the nation's biggest airlines?
Yeah, so it's interesting because when Omicron first emerged, you know, the first question for airlines was what is this going to mean for demand? Is holiday, you know, travel demand just going to drop off a cliff? And that really didn't happen. There were still millions of people traveling every day over the week of Christmas and New Year's. But what it did do is it impacted airlines' workforces. Just like the rest of the country, airline staff saw a really huge uptick in COVID infections, and that quickly became too much for them to manage. And you know, they had a lot of people calling out sick, pilots, flight attendants, other employees who need to be there in person. And, you know, that just became, you know, more than they could handle without canceling flights.
And then, of course, on top of this, airlines have also been hit this winter with severe weather events. How much has that compounded the situation for them in the early days of winter?
Yeah, I mean, no pun intended, but it's been sort of a perfect storm. You know, even in normal years where there isn't a COVID, you know, issue, if there's a big snowstorm, it can result in hundreds or thousands of cancellations, and it maybe can take a few days to recover from. So when they're dealing with that, you know, a kind of rolling weather events that are moving across the country, then if you also don't have the staff you need to quickly kind of dig out from that, you know, it just exacerbates the problem.
So for nearly 2 weeks now, airlines have been canceling upwards of 1,000 flights a day. Can you put this in context for us, Allison? How significant has this disruption been for the industry?
you know, looking back over the last 10 years, this is one of the most significant mass cancellation events. You know, really nothing compares to March and April of 2020 when airlines were just canceling huge swaths of flights because demand was kind of falling off a cliff and they were just racing to catch up. So, you know, we're not, you know, at those levels. And like I said, you know, there have been other kind of days where there have been bigger cancellations. The Texas freeze event last year, you know, resulted in something like 3,700 canceled flights in a day. And while there have been days that are pretty bad in these last 2 weeks, they haven't gotten to quite that high level. But what's different about this is just the duration, that this has been going on for 2 weeks now and isn't really showing signs of letting up. You know, that's kind of unusual. And, you know, in terms of, you know, the context for the industry, I mean, I think this is probably just one of the most difficult operating environments that they've faced.
We know a lot of businesses are facing staffing shortfalls right now due to the number of Omicron cases. How are airlines trying to incentivize workers to come back to work or stay on the job? How are they finding relief on that issue?
So several airlines have been putting in place kind of new incentives to kind of lure people off the sidelines over the holidays. You know, if you weren't supposed to work and you're healthy and you can pick up an extra shift, you know, we've seen incentives over the holidays ranging from, you know, American had offered flight attendants as much as triple pay to have perfect attendance. Southwest recently announced that it's going to put in place some new incentives through almost the end of January for several of its operational groups. So they're, you know, hoping that'll kind of keep people motivated to work a little bit more than they otherwise would. You know, another thing the airlines have done is several of them had asked the CDC to reduce the amount of time it recommends people quarantine after they've had COVID. And some of the airlines have followed the new CDC guidance that it put out that people who've been infected with COVID only need to isolate for 5 days. You know, some airlines like JetBlue and Delta have said they think that will help alleviate some of the staffing problems they've had, you know, if people don't have to be home for the full 10 days. But other airlines like United have said they think, you know, for pilots and flight attendants, at least, you know, they probably need to have special circumstances and need the whole 10 days.
There don't seem to be signs of this abating anytime soon. What is the latest forecast from airlines about when things might return to normal? And how are they planning for the weeks and months ahead?
You know, I think they're kind of still in the thick of it, and it's not clear when exactly things will return to normal. You know, so much depends on factors like weather, which, you know, can really go in any way, and just the number, the pace and the trajectory of COVID infections, which are still climbing. You know, they'll get some relief. January just tends to be a slower time for travel, and February as well. They have smaller schedules. You know, planes are a little less full, so that I think relieves some of the pressure in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, as has kind of been the case throughout the pandemic, it's been really difficult for airlines to plan ahead. I mean, that's been a major change in kind of how they operate their businesses, that you really can't plan 6 months in advance or 9 months in advance like airlines typically do. And I think this is just the latest example of that. Long term, I think they're still positive on kind of the demand for travel. You know, that still seems like it's going to be fairly healthy. But, you know, when something like Omicron emerges really quickly and really abruptly, it just can upend everything, as we've seen.
That's Wall Street Journal Airlines reporter Allison Sider. Allison, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, the airline industry is not the only sector dealing with record numbers of positive COVID-19 cases. According to data from Johns Hopkins University and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, on average, over 600,000 people tested positive daily in the U.S. in the past week. So what should you do if you're one of those people? Your health columnist, Sumathi Reddy, says people with positive cases should go into isolation, even if they've been vaccinated and boosted.
The CDC actually just recently shortened that isolation period from 10 days to 5 days. It was very controversial, lots of split opinions from doctors. And now they're saying that after 5 days, if you haven't had a fever for 24 hours, if your symptoms are gone or at least improving, you are able to leave isolation under the condition that you wear a well-fitting mask, both in public as well as at home. But there's certain things you should avoid. Like, don't eat in a restaurant or a gym or someplace where you're going to be taking a mask off. Don't travel if you can, you know, avoid traveling. And even when you're at home, you know, try not to eat with your family members because obviously you don't wear a mask when you eat.
Updated guidance from the CDC has stopped short of saying people have to get a test before going back to work or resuming social activities. But the agency says an infected person should continue to isolate until day 10 if they test positive after 5 days. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and our new addition, Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Trine Nori and Kate Bullivant, with help from Mohsen Ali, Anthony Bansi, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Sandra Kilhoff, Jenny Ang, and Chris Inslee. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.